This is Joanna Schrader reporting for eggwire.com, and we are on the last day of the eggcareers.com HR and food roundtable. And I'm with this morning's keynote speaker, Ann Bars with Alturo Consulting Group. It's kind of a tongue twister a little bit. Ann, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, thank you so much for coming. You had a great presentation this morning in this topic that you're talking about, and it is a huge issue, and I know it's not just an issue in the egg industry, it's just an issue, period, but this is something that you talked about that could have been a bit uncomfortable for a lot of those HR managers there today, but like you said this morning, needed to be said. So let's start off and talk a little bit, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your company.
Okay, well, I'm a compensation consultant, so that's what I do for a living. I've worked in compensation for more than 20 years, mostly as a consultant. I was in a staff human resource job at the very beginning and then joined a large global consulting firm, spent about a dozen years with them, went to a regional firm, started my own business, my own consultancy about 10 years ago. And so that's my focus, and I consult in that area. I do a lot of writing. I run a couple of blogs. I serve on the board of our professional journal. So I'm very active in the field, very, very excited and enthusiastic about compensation as a discipline.
Okay, so let's talk about compensation. Let's talk specifically about retention. What I found so interesting that people have said, and you said this today, is that retention is a double-edged sword. And people would think, why? You want to retain everybody. So I think we need to start off and talk about what do you mean when you say retention is a double-edged sword?
I think it was interesting because the audience answered some of those questions for me. And when I asked them, don't I want to unequivocally and, you know, completely retain every single employee? And they were all like, no. I didn't even have to say it. I laid them up so nicely. But it's true, I think, and especially these days, we're all struggling with limited funds. Retention efforts cost money, and there's a lot going on in all of our businesses and in the industry overall. And so not every employee may be the best fit to what's going on in our business and the kind of skills we need going forward. So we have to be aware of that. In some cases, you have to let your people go and allow them and not be holding on to them if it's not really a good fit anymore. Doesn't really work for you, doesn't ultimately work for them either, and it's not a good use of the limited money that you've got. So I think we have to learn to be more careful, strategic, and selective in how we retain.
And that leads us right into sort of the core of your presentation, and that was developing a retention strategy. So I'm not familiar, but I've never heard of that before. So I'm sure there were probably people in the audience that hadn't heard about that before. So what exactly does a retention strategy look like, and why is it so important?
Okay. Well, I think it's ultimately, it's big fancy words for figuring out who is it that we really do need to retain. And then how are we going about doing that? So it's knowing, it's understanding your business well enough to know what kind of skills do you need now and are you going to need going forward. Who are the highest potential people? And you have to understand what does that mean for your business? What does high potential look like in your particular organization? Who are your high performers? And again, you need to know what does high performance look like for you, because it might look different in different organizations. So it's defining sort of the criteria for what is the kind of person you want and need to keep, figuring out then who those people are that meet that criteria, and then trying to understand what it's going to take to keep them. And that's your strategy, essentially.
So, Anne, is it also fair to say when you talk about having to determine who those high performers are and how that measurement, does that differ between even two people with the same job or between departments? I mean, should that measurement be specific to each individual, or what's the most effective way of doing that?
That's a really good question. And I'm tempted to answer it like all consultants do with the famous, it depends. Except it kind of does, I think, because in some cases I can think of examples where it might go either way. So part of it is understanding, if there are particular jobs that are important to your organization, then it's probably true that everybody who's, credentialed and experienced in those jobs is important. Or I can think of situations where there's just particular attributes that might be more personal, and you might find them in an accountant or a receptionist or an engineer, but they're the kind of person that might be a quick learner, ready to take on leadership, good at collaboration. There may be things that might cross jobs and might be more individual. So I think you could potentially end up with a mix of both, I think, which is what makes this, complicated and interesting.
Right.
So it's not as easy as stealing some other company's retention strategy and trying to put it in yours, because it wouldn't work, correct?
No, not that I'm sure isn't attempted. Just like we steal their pay plans, their performance plans, why wouldn't we steal their retention strategies too? But it's not ultimately going to do a lot of good. Yeah.
Well, the other interesting issue that the industry has had, and once again, that's not just ag, but across the board, is identifying rewards and do they work and why and why not. But specifically, you talked about where rewards fit into retention as part of that strategy. So how do they fit into a retention strategy?
I think, and a lot of what we talked about is, kind of comes back to being selective, and it comes back to, not having unlimited funds. So selective and differentiating. So in a lot of cases, it's moving away from an approach where you take your money, whether it's salary increases or an incentive plan, and you spread it evenly, regardless of who the people are or how important they are, and deciding how you can be more selective. So for base salary increases, for example, we talked about, something called a carve-out, which is something a lot of organizations are trying, where rather than just a flat 3% budget that every employee has the same salary increase opportunity, you might carve out a small amount of that, maybe 0.5%. So you have 2.5% that you spread like peanut butter, and then you have the 0.5% that perhaps is specifically targeted at those very high potential, and you have to come up with the criteria and the process for doing that, but high performers, your future talent, those with the skills and capabilities that you're going to be critically needing going forward, and then you allot, it's an investment in that group specifically. Mm-hmm. So part of it is looking at the different kinds of ways we reward people and figuring out how you can do that more selectively in line with your retention strategy.
So what another thing I found that was interesting when you were talking about rewards is you said organizations become what they reward. So is this good or bad? I think I was tweeting it out and people probably are wondering now, hopefully it was a conversation starter. So is that good or bad if they become what they reward?
I guess it depends on what they reward, and a lot of times, but it's true. And that, that gets us back to that double-edged sword conversation we had at the beginning too. And that case study that I shared too, so for example, the case study of a company I shared was they were very, one of their values was teamness, everybody on a team, rewarding as a group, not as individuals, which you can see there's a lot of good things about that. You enhance collaboration, you're driving, people to cooperate with one another. But it ultimately came back to bite them in a sense, because they, it rewards and pay for employees depended on what group you belonged, not whether you were someone with the right skills or were investing in the right capabilities or were a high performer. It all became about, were you in a profitable business unit or not profitable? And some of their most important new products and service offerings were in business units that were still trying to ramp up and weren't profitable yet. And so some of their, most important, from a skills standpoint, employees were not being rewarded well because of this team thing, which on the surface sounds, it's apple pie and blue sky. It sounds wonderful. How can you argue with the importance of team? But it was also, it was a double-edged sword for them, and that it was causing them problems on the back end as well.
Well, that's interesting. I just, the situation you just described, while I'm not in technology per se, I have been in those situations where it's the whole team or it's certain departments, and it's not a motivator, to necessarily stay. So what are some of those other reward possibilities? Are you looking at vacation time, comp time, half days? What are some of those things that people, especially for companies who are struggling financially and can't make the big financial raises, that you've seen personally that have been effective for retention?
I think, we talked about total rewards and getting beyond just cash, because we all get so locked into, throw the money. Even when we don't have a lot of money, it's still our first go-to. But to look at, other things that are really rewarding, like advancements opportunities, being part of an organization that's got a compelling future, having the chance to develop a career or develop particular skills or move around and learning, which gets back to understanding these people that you're trying to retain and what's important to them. And while nobody's going to turn down more money, a lot of times that's not the reason that they stay. And so whether it's development, it's advancement, it's being part of a winning team, it's being, you know, part of an organization that's doing something really interesting, I mean, those are all things that have value and that we shouldn't overlook, and we can tap into without spending money, you know.
Well, and then another thing that, you know, you kind of closed your presentation about sort of what that rewards and retention and the bottom line. And it's interesting because you mentioned five questions that leaders should know the answers about. And the answers are different for each and every employee. And I begin to think as I'm looking at this that I probably couldn't answer these maybe even about myself. But, you know, just really quickly, because, you know, let's give them to people and then we'll actually go back into a shameless plug and let them know that you can come in and help them actually develop this on a one-on-one, because obviously they're going to need a little more help than this interview. But so what are those really key five questions that they need to know about these employees?
Well, and this came out of a Harvard Business Review article that I just thought was great because it honed in on some, and they're not about money, and I'm a money consultant, so I mean, but I could understand and appreciate the appeal. So, you know, things to ask your top employees to understand, to understand what motivates them. What are their proudest accomplishments? What are their biggest disappointments? That was the first question. What activities energize them versus what activities drain them? That's another question. How would they force rank, you know, different kinds of rewards? You know, power and influence versus lifestyle, you know, flexibility versus financial gain, intellectual stimulation. I mean, what things are important to them? What things are less important? What do they want their legacy to be? What do they want? What's their five-year career goal? I mean, those are things that, and the woman who published the article who goes around asking these questions says she has yet to run into a leader who can answer all five of them for any of their employees. So, it's a big missed opportunity there to really do this better in ways that don't directly involve spending a lot of money.
Well, you mentioned that you're a money person, which kind of makes me laugh, and then I look at all the things that you're doing for free. And one of the things you talked about, you mentioned earlier, too, that you do a lot of blogging, and you have this really great free blog called The Compensation Cafe. And, really quickly, tell everybody a little bit about what that blog's about.
Sure. Well, it's a group blog. I'm kind of the mother hen, as I think of it. And there are seven writers, all of which are in the field of compensation but have very different specialties and outlooks and kind of takes on things. And so every day of the week, one of us publishes a post. And they're usually pretty, it's a blog, so it's something along the lines of 500 words on something going on. And so our tagline is, straight talk and caffeinated discussion. So we try to be kind of leading edge. We try to be provocative. We try to, talk about the things that other people aren't willing to talk about, and just to put them out there and give resources. So, we're lucky we've developed a really enormous following, and we get a lot of traffic, and as a result, a lot of discussion and debate. So it's just a free compensation blog, compensationcafe.com, and we'd invite anyone to check it out.
Well, great. Well, Anne, I mentioned before that a lot of people were, they left your presentation. They were still talking about it. Unfortunately, this conference sold out, and I use the term unfortunately because I know there's a lot of people who wish they could have been here. So for those people who are here, those people weren't here, those that are meeting you for the first time on this interview, how can they get a hold of you? And I know you have the blog, but how else can they get a hold of you to learn more about you and potentially discuss with you, working with you?
Well, I have a business website. My business is Altura Consulting Group, so it's a long website address. I apologize for this on a daily basis, but, www.altura.com. That's got my phone, my email. My contact information is at the Compensation Cafe, too. And certainly, so I don't know if you want me to spell out the whole email address.
Okay.
Nobody wants to hear me do that. A lot of different ways to, and I always just love hearing from people and sometimes just have a great conversation. And if it leads to a chance to work together, that's great. And if it doesn't, sometimes it's just a great conversation.
Well, great. Well, and you were great, and I hope to see you again next year. And maybe you can give us some updates and let us know if you've seen an increase, in the questions that these leaders should know. See if you see an increase in some of that.
That sounds good. Maybe we can get a movement going here.
Thank you.
Thank you.